for your weekly dose of Wayne's Comics.
Welcome to episode 639 of the Wayne's Comics Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. He's one of our favorites here at the podcast, so it's great to talk again with Ed Jowett with the Empowered Outsiders 2 anthology on Kickstarter this week. Ed catches us up on the very latest happenings with SOV Comics, including his current Kickstarter for Empowered Outsiders 2. This crowdfunding project is described this way. Three more independent heroes have adventures in the critically acclaimed Empowered universe. Rejoin Lobo and meet Drift and Vigilance. We look into who these characters are, how these comics work with Shades of Vengeance other projects, including SOV Comics, and what else is coming from them in the months ahead. This Kickstarter will conclude on Sunday, May 12th at 9:41 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, so be sure to back it once you have finished listening to our fun interview. I'm sure you're going to enjoy what he has to say, as always. There's a lot to get to in this episode, so let's get on with the show.
Hi everyone, Ed here from Shades of Vengeance. I believe that superheroes are defined as people first, and by their powers, second. Real stories that speak to people are the important thing when creating these extraordinary situations.
Once upon a time, there was a mighty company with great tabletop games and incredible stories. Comics soon followed. Look here and you'll find those comics of heroes, soldiers, and the lives that helped shape eras. Right now on Kickstarter, there's Empowered Outsiders 2, an anthology of independent heroes. And I'm talking to one of the main forces behind SOV, and that's Ed Jowett. How you doing, Ed?
Hi, Wayne. I'm going to be honest. I wondered for a moment if that was something I'd written somewhere that I've never heard of. That was an amazing intro. Thank you so much.
That's what it says on Kickstarter.
Is it? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Okay. If you go to the description of Shades of Vengeance, that's the description right there.
Oh, well done, John, then. That's entirely credit, John. That's beautiful. I love it. Anyway, Wayne, thank you. I'm doing great. It's so nice to be back. I didn't make it back for my last one, which is a bit sad, but we can talk about that. We can spend a few minutes talking about that, as well as this new anthology that we've got, Empowered Outsiders number 2.
Yeah. Let's jump right to that, because as we're talking, people get mad at me because I don't say this soon enough. The project will only be funded if it reaches this goal by Sunday, May 12th at 9:41 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time. And as we're talking, you have a very modest goal, which you have already accomplished. So that's a good place, but there's plenty more to go. So congrats, Ed.
Oh, thank you very much. I'm just looking at that time of day and going, that's not right. Mine normally end at 9 p.m. What's happened there? I must have made a mistake in the Kickstarter setup. Goodness.
Hour.
Normally, as you know, I normally end the mid-afternoon your time, about 4 o'clock. Mm-hmm. Apparently I've made a mistake here. So yeah, sorry about that. 9 a.m.
That's all right. Whatever. I'm not so worried about that. So usually, especially if you've already gotten your goal, I'm less worried about that. I'm more worried about making sure we get the word out.
Yeah, well, thank you very much. I really appreciate that. So these three, this is quite a special anthology for me, because as you very well know, Wayne, I often work with other people when I'm writing comics.
Mm-hmm.
And I very seldom sit down and write a comic completely on my own. We talked a couple of years back now about Melkart, which was my very first one that I wrote entirely on my own.
Mm-hmm.
And this is actually an anthology of three comics, which I wrote entirely on my own. I wrote Drift and Vigilance and Lobo number 2 all on my own. Although Lobo number 2 obviously followed on from Lobo number 1 that I did write with someone else. These were all originally COVID projects and they got delayed or happened towards the end of COVID, for various reasons.
Mm-hmm.
They're stories that are, well, your listeners and you, I'm sure many of you already know that I've got a fairly extensive universe of superheroes, and many of them are destined for an organization, I would say, which I refer to in the universe as Aegis. Now, I love taking my time over telling really good stories, and I'm very much taking my time on this. We are just coming to the end of what I would call Phase 1. There are two more comics in Phase 1 that have not yet been released. But I've already started the comics in Phase 2, so I'm not taking it slow by any means. The thing is that these three characters here, Vigilance, Drift, and Lobo, who's got his back to us, the girl in green is called Savannah. She's Lobo's new ally in the comic.
Mm-hmm.
And those four heroes, I guess I can say, are not destined to join up with the others. They are all going to be independent. They're never going to quite join up until much later in the story. They're not. I've done a team up. We talked before about Cascade, mm-hmm. Which teams up Violet and Blue Shift and Lacuna and Penumbra. But these three do not join that. Vigilance we have seen before. We actually saw her as a villain. She was sort of working with the villains more than being a villain, if that makes sense. She was being their security, hired security. And the others, they're just steering clear of any organization that might tell them what to do. So maybe if I just briefly go through the plots one by one. So Vigilance, she has the power to look through other people's eyes and experience their life. And she hates this. She is a rich girl from the it's not actually set on Earth, but from the equivalent of Monaco. She even speaks French. I had a very good friend who's a French native French speaker give me a hand with a few of her native dialogue lines. And she's incredibly rich, and she goes out to sort of get away from people, hoping that she can extend beyond the range of anyone who might tell her what to do, or sorry, not tell her what to do. I mean, show her their life. She doesn't want it anymore. So, unfortunately for her, she runs into a villain from another comic that we already did. There's a nice little crossover there. The lady who can control people's minds from Fauna has happened to go to the same place and is controlling much of the wildlife in the area in an attempt to practice, I'm guessing, and be able to... You might remember her powers don't work on Fauna.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I should say this is a standalone comic. You don't need to have read Fauna to understand it. But Vigilance runs into this mind control lady, and she... is taken over and goes missing for years. Sorry, years is a bit much. Months, I think, probably is a bit more accurate. She goes missing. And she is transformed into, I guess you might say, a living weapon. Until one day, she suddenly wakes up. She suddenly realizes that she's being controlled and it's not working on her anymore. And then it's all about coming to terms with what she is now, what she can do now. Last time she was in control, she was just this rich girl. Yeah, she's not, you know, unfit and slovenly or anything, but she's suddenly capable of fighting, of you know, being pretty badass, actually. And, you know, it's the immediate reaction of, oh, what am I wearing? What have they done to my hair? Soon gives way to, wait, hang on, this, how long has this been going on? And it's quite an interesting sort of insight into what it must be like to be in one of those situations where you know, you've been taken over. You and I have spoken before about how a lot of the stories, everyone seems to just sort of shake it off. Like these horrific things happen to you, and then you just shake it off and you move on.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very common in modern superheroes, and I just find it very odd that's the way they're written. I suppose it's more so that they can be a villain of the week thing, but I like character development. I always have. And Vigilance is all about, you know, coming to terms with that and coming to terms with who she is now and how that's changed as a result of things outside of her control.
Wow. Okay. So that's pretty good. I got a chance to read that, and it's really fascinating. You know, all of a sudden she wakes up. So she's, I guess this other girl's been controlling her for as long as she has. And so her own mind hasn't been functioning, apparently.
That's right. Yeah. She didn't even really realize what it was that she was doing. I think slowly it's implied that she pieces it back together. And I think that over time, after the comic ends, I think she pieces the rest of it back together over a longer period of time. Because the end of the second half of the comic only takes place within a few hours.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Pretty good. It's a really great... Are we going to see more of this character?
I wanted to give her... I wouldn't exactly say it's an origin story, because as you know, it doesn't really explain how she got her powers in the first place. Mm-hmm. She only had them before it began, but it's a how did I change and become this story.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I wanted to do that, because yes, she absolutely is going to show up again. She's a very important character in the universe to me, and you know, she's this idea that someone who is as rich as Tony Stark but really doesn't care about doing the right thing has powers.
Mm.
And doesn't want to be a hero, isn't going to try and right wrongs, hasn't got any skeletons in her closet as far as she's concerned. You know, she hasn't been selling weapons by mistake, or her company hasn't been doing whatever. No, she's just a rich heiress who has more money than she knows what to do with, who finds she has powers that she doesn't really want. And I just think that's a fun character to play with. I don't think we see enough of that kind of thing, of why on earth would I be a hero? There's no... there's someone, who was it? There was a, I'm trying to think what the TV series was now. I can't place it. Do you have any idea how much, oh, it's Lex Luthor in the Justice League animated from the 90s. President? Mm. Do you have any idea how much power I would have to give up to become president?
Yeah.
It's sort of that, you know, a hero? Really? No. I'm fine, thanks.
So she's not going to be a part of the organization, but she's going to be doing things the organization is aware of, sounds like.
She's going to be around. She's going to be around. Ooh. Her powers make her very useful, because she can find anyone in the world and look through their eyes.
Hmm.
That's an incredibly useful ability to anyone who's trying to find empowered. Hmm. And she's not going to be left alone once people know what it is that she can do.
Hmm. She gets called Vigilance.
Vigilance, indeed. Yeah.
Okay, very good. Very good. Now, let's go to the next one. I guess in order here on the website, Drift says, who experiences a comedic story where she is bad at using her powers.
So Drift is one of those stories. I you know, being completely honest, in general, I don't write a lot of funny stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens is every so often, I just get this germ of an idea which is just too funny to not write.
Mm-hmm.
And it happens occasionally in role-playing games. It happened in Era Liars or Era Silence, perhaps Era Kaiju or Era Friction, which are two of my more recent ones. You know, I'll occasionally go, oh man, that's really funny, I should do that. And Drift was that in comic form. I just thought to myself, okay, look, I love Spider-Man, fine. Yeah, everyone loves Spider-Man, it's cool. But Spider-Man has this very... all of these pressures that push him to be Spider-Man, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he's a hero. No one's disputing that. He's a hero. You know, he does good things. But to be honest, it's all escapism. Like when he web swings, you know, it's one of the things I loved about the movies when I first saw the original Sam Raimi movies. Woohoo! Is his response to web swinging, right? Mm-hmm. Which is totally fair enough. I mean, I think that probably would be my response if I wasn't terrified of heights. But you know, he loves it. It's so thrilling, and there is every reason for him to wear that suit every minute of every day. And the only thing that stops him doing that really is Aunt May, and maybe a little bit of, you know, Mary Jane or whatever, you know, whoever, right? Fair enough. Okay. And I thought, well, but that's easy mode for being a hero, surely. What if it's the other way around? What if your life is perfect? Absolutely brilliant. Your school life, you are a straight A student. It just comes easily. It's no problem for you. You have friends. They like you. They're kind to you. They're good people. You have a good life, right?
Right.
And every single time you put on your costume, you are humiliated beyond belief. Because you get blown away by the wind. You get covered in mud when a speedster runs past you. You fail to beat your nemesis, who ends up being a dude with a broken wrist in a cast, ends up being your nemesis, who beats you. It's just, you are pathetic when it comes to being a hero. So why on earth would anyone choose that life of being a hero just because they have powers if it's just every single time it's embarrassing? And you know, the senior speedster in the city called Captain Speed, he just says, oh, you know what, you're going to get yourself hurt, girl. Go home. Just don't. We don't need another hero. We're good. We're fine. Don't hurt yourself. You know, this is a dangerous thing. Don't do this. And every single pressure in her life pushes her away from being a hero, not towards it. And while it is comedic, you know, it's fun, it's silly, it's got comedic elements, like, you know, everyone calls out what their favorite superhero is, and no one's favorite superhero is her. It's got, obviously, it's got the fairly slapstick bits of, well, she can't fly very well, so she gets blown away, and so on. And she keeps putting on the suit. She keeps going out and being a hero. And while it's comedic, it's about what makes a person a hero, right? That's really the question that we're asking here. We're looking and doing a study on a person who, I think arguably is more of a hero than most people who are superheroes. Because every time she has powers, but it goes wrong. She can increase her density, but then she can't lift her arms because she's too weak, right? She's not strong enough to lift her arms when her density is increased. She can lower her density, but then she gets blown away by the wind. It's a superhero who is not good at using their powers, who every single thing should make her stop, but she doesn't. She keeps going. And by the end of the comic, she saved Captain Speed and also had a bit of a slightly disturbing insight into the way people really are. It's never meet your heroes, kids. And that makes the story beautiful to me as a way of looking at a character that you wouldn't normally see in comics. You might see someone who's bad at using their powers. You might see a booster gold, you know, and they're not very good at doing what they're doing, and okay. But they usually have very selfish reasons for being a hero. Booster Gold obviously wants to be famous. Fair enough. Okay. It's a character you can write, but you don't often see, no, I have to. The drive is there. No matter how bad this is, the drive is there for me to be a hero.
Yeah, because it's called drift heroism. So that's what it's about.
It's all about heroism.
Yeah. It's really interesting. She's, I'm fascinated because over time she's probably going to learn how to use her powers better the more she uses them.
Absolutely.
I would hope so. We'll see her grow.
Actually, I don't know if you remember discussing the movie that I made, but Drift is a main character in the Occupied movie. And by then she has indeed learned to use her powers much better, but it's 2 years later. You know, that's years later where she's better at using her powers. So, she will eventually learn to use her powers better, definitely.
That'd be something to watch, because I like stories that develop over time. I don't necessarily want Superman all the time. I want something, you know, that watching these people change and grow and become something different. So I like that. So I like that. She's the one that I like the best out of the three.
Yeah, I mean, I want to tell that kind of story. And I've started. I'm very fortunate to be able to work with a writer of the caliber of Jennifer Martin on Violet. We've sort of made the most progress with Violet in terms of changing her character. But yeah, Drift, absolutely. Another adventure for Drift is far from out of the question. I need to be in that place where I'm writing the right balance of comedic and important. And I don't always hit that balance. It's a very rare thing for me. I'll know the moment when I see it. But until then, I don't want to rush it. I don't want to make it... it's like you're saying about, you know, seeing Superman every day. I don't want to write the same thing 50 times. I want to write something that really speaks to me and the people who love the characters that I'm creating.
Because I like the older lady who is talked to. Somebody comes up and says the mystery heroine helped retrieve Irene's purse. Help, she goes, don't be ridiculous. So I like the fact that for once somebody didn't go, oh, wow, great. You know, when somebody shows up in a costume and stuff like that. I thought that was...
Yeah, I mean, the old lady is very far from impressed with Drift's abilities. Yeah, she basically just got in the way of that speedster guy who was awesome.
Which is really kind of funny. So I'm fascinated because his powers... Captain Speed, let's just say that his powers kind of loosens his morality, shall we say.
I don't know that it's his powers. I think he might be fundamentally not the best person.
Okay.
But that would happen a lot. You know, that there'd be a lot of people who, they aren't exactly villains, but people lose control in moments, don't they? You know, they have a moment of something they regret. And you would think a speedster would not... A speedster could react to something before they think about it. And that's a terrifying thought, isn't it?
Yeah, if you imagine, that's scary.
That was why I put that scene in there. And it was it was one of the first scenes I wrote in the whole comic. That bit at the end there. Let's not spoiler anyone too much, but definitely worth reading the ending of Drift to understand a bit more about what it's like to live in this world.
It's funny. I used to know somebody who thought he had developed the perfect superhero. They had the speed of the Flash and the claws of Wolverine, and they could chop you to bits before you even knew it. And your body parts would just fall all over the place. And I said to him, I said, you think Superman's too powerful, right? Oh, yeah. So I always get a kick when somebody does that and stuff like this. Speedsters, to me, are the ones that could cover up things.
Oh, the all of the sensible jokes about, like, Batman versus Superman are, yes, I'm standing on Mount Everest in a pink tutu now. My planning didn't work very well, it seems. You know, it's super speed just makes everything a joke.
Yeah.
You just can't beat super speed. There's very little you can do to beat that. There are a few, but not a lot.
Are we going to see Captain Speed again, or is he just basically a one time for this issue?
Oh, Captain Speed is definitely going to have to return when Drift comes back. Captain Speed will have to be there because Captain Speed, as you well know, is the favorite hero in the city.
Right.
He's even mentioned in the Occupied movie. It's actually based on a podcast idea that I had with my friend Leo during COVID, and it ended up being rewritten and made into a movie. And in the initial draft, I think it didn't make it into the final draft of the movie in the end, but in the initial draft of the podcast, Drift and Snake discussed Captain Speed. And I suppose what a disappointment he was as a protector of the city. Captain Speed has unfortunately passed away by the time of Occupied. So within 2 years, he is no longer alive.
Oh, wow.
However, how that happens is not yet known. And I don't think it's a stretch to say that right now, I don't think the city would get behind Drift as their primary hero.
Interesting.
So Drift has a long journey ahead of her, I think.
What city is she in, by the way?
So these stories are not based on Earth.
Okay.
The city that I used as a model for this was some combination of London and New York.
Okay.
So the suburbs look a bit more London-y, and the commercial district looks a bit more New York-y.
Because it's called Terra in the description.
That's correct. Yeah, the world is called Terra. I didn't want to... I wanted to go more the direction of a timeless Gotham City than something that can easily become an anachronism. One thing that's never really gone far from my mind is all of the trailers that they did for Spider-Man bouncing between the Twin Towers before the first Sam Raimi movie came out.
Yeah.
It's just a bit easy for something to become an anachronism through no fault of anyone's, but it just doesn't make sense anymore to the modern world. And I would rather, you know, one of the things I grew up with was the 90s animated Batman. And I would like to have a world where, like that, it's timeless.
That's one of the very best animated things ever.
I happen to agree with you, and I love a lot of the production design choices they made. They're really well thought out. They're very carefully decided on. The cast is A1, obviously. They did a really nice job with that, and they had years to hone it and make it the best it could possibly be. And they really nailed it. They really nailed a really good animated series, I think.
And all the incarnations after, I thought, were built on that. The Justice League, Superman.
Well, they were, absolutely. I mean, it was... I understood that not the first few episodes, but later in the Superman, they actually moved that team across the US, to the other side of the US, to become the Superman team rather than the Batman team. Which is one of the reasons that Batman changed significantly. They brought in a new team for it.
Yep.
And and then Justice League built out of those. So yeah, absolutely. I do believe that is what it built off. But that original, I love the Justice League cartoon. I even love the Superman cartoon. I'm not gonna lie. Martian Manhunter is my favorite superhero. I'm not saying he's the least powerful or the, you know, he's my favorite superhero because he is so powerful and so lost. And I think often the way they wrote Martian Manhunter there, if they'd written Superman that way, if they wrote Superman that way more often, as so powerful and so lost, I think I would enjoy Superman a lot more as a character.
But let's get back to your stuff, let's get to Lobo number 2, because I could talk about that stuff all day, but I want to promote your good stuff. Lobo number 2, of course, Lobo number 1 has already come out, apparently successfully, and now we've got Lobo number 2 Suppression. Let's see what the website says about it. It says, Lobo, who is still fighting for a city but needs help against his powerful foe. Who's that help going to be?
So this is Savannah. This is the girl in green. But first, I'd probably better explain the foe. So at the end of Lobo Dauntless, the first Lobo, Lobo number 1, Dauntless, if you like. I like to give each one a title. You will have noticed from Drift Heroism and Vigilance Escape. I like to give each one a title as well as, obviously, this is Lobo's second issue, so it's Lobo number 2. At the end of Lobo number 1, Lobo was, he was defeated but escaped. The truth is that Lobo is an excellent adapter. He's very, very good at adapting to a developing situation. He's not very good at thinking things through. He walked into the lair of his enemy. And he met his first empowered. Because he is not empowered, but she is. So Lobo is sort of... He was originally inspired by the Tom Jane and John Travolta Punisher movie. He wants to defeat the drug cartels. He's from... I can't believe it's not Mexico. I wrote him with a Mexican lady in the first comic. I wrote with a Mexican lady, and His city is overwhelmed with drugs, and he fights back. He blows up their warehouses. He burns their drugs and all the rest of it. And eventually, you know, he went for the ringleader in his area, who was this lady they call Santa Muerte. And she dresses the part too, you know, red clothes and skull face and a bit short on the yellow flowers, but that's another story.
Okay.
He loses. He fights her and loses because she's an empowered and he is not. And he wasn't ready for that. He can punch someone quite hard, but if they can generate bone armor, then it doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't matter how hard he's going to punch them. He can't penetrate that armor. So he ends up running. He escapes. And he ends the comic by saying, you know, I remember you talking about this one, actually. You said you liked that ending because it was, you know, I know I'm going to need to find allies.
Mm-hmm.
I remember talking to you. That was years ago now. I remember talking to you about the end of that comic.
Wow.
And so, months later, he has found someone. He doesn't want someone who she might have heard of and developed a countermeasure against. He wanted someone who was an unheard of but could be really useful. And he heads to, you know, across continents to find the right person. He finds the right person who he feels is this girl, Savannah. And she's quite an interesting little character. She's a practiced martial artist, which I'm sure is one of the things drew Lobo to her. She also has the ability to make plants grow. And I would say she's not entirely in control of it. Like mostly, but not entirely. As we can see from actually the sample page, she sort of didn't quite mean to make those plants grow through that guy. It went a bit wrong. And Lobo recruits her and comes back to face the Empress again. I call her the Empress of Bones. That's her name in the script. She's still known as Santa Muerte. No one's actually introduced her as the Empress of Bones yet. She, on the other hand, is continuing her plan and her life as if Lobo doesn't exist. She has no regard for him whatsoever. She's doing her own thing with her pet scientist that she had last time. Again, this is actually a standalone comic. You could read this comic on its own, and it would stand. You do not need to know what happened in the previous Lobo comic. I do think you'll have a better story if you read the previous Lobo comic, but Lobo works with Savannah. Once again, gets in to face her in the hope of taking her down. But in the meantime, she is enacting her new plan to use her empowered ability to empower others. This scientist has made a device with her, which with her blood, with her powers, which adds bone armor to anyone who wears it. And they're bulletproof, stab proof, you know, completely invincible, basically. And she basically goes to the rest of the cartel bosses and says, "Right, who wants to work with me and have completely invincible minions?"
Wow.
So that's her thing. That's what she's doing. She's almost oblivious to Lobo existing. Obviously, you've read the comics, so you know that Lobo fights his way inside with Savannah and discovers that doing the same thing twice won't work all that well. It's sort of that in itself is another commentary on a lot of comics that I've read, where somehow doing a thing and then doing the same thing again works again. And it does not work the same way, and things do not go to plan. Lobo might end the comic better off than he starts, but he's far from his goal.
Yeah. Yeah. There's something to come out. So is Lobo gonna have a series
Oh, sorry, I was just saying, once again at the end, there's an implication about what might happen in the future, and I enjoyed in that first Lobo comic giving an indication there might be an ally. But in that second comic, I think there's an implication that he might go down a darker path. Which I think would be quite interesting to explore. So in answer to your question, yes, I absolutely intend Lobo to be a longer series. I've done what I need to for phase one, but he's still going to be out there and doing his thing. And although he doesn't have much to do in the main story of phase two, that just gives me all the more time to play with him and Santa Muerte and make those things, make those stories really good stories that don't have to tie into the meta plot.
Does he join the group?
He does not. None of the outsiders do. Well, eventually, all of them do. So all of this is sort of laid out in roughly in my core rulebook for Era of the Empowered, the role-playing game. The whole timeline's laid out. But not specifically for any of these characters. I'm filling in gaps here that don't exist. Okay. So eventually, everyone is forced to join what's called the Empowered Department, which is a government agency, basically. This is 5 years down the line. You know, we're miles away in timelines. Over, what, 6-7 years of making comics in this universe, I've got, like, a few months. There's a long... And that's 30-odd comics. So there's a long way to go.
Wow, that's great.
A long, long way to go. And I have to take it slow because I don't have huge amounts of money, you know. And also, I want to take it slow because I want to write good stories, and that takes time.
Right.
I don't want to just write garbage that I churn out every 2 days. Churning out a 22-page comic every 2 days would not mean I write good work.
No. Quality's worth waiting for.
Indeed. I couldn't agree more. And so eventually they all will join because the Empowered Department comes out of this group Aegis. This group Aegis is made legitimate and made in charge of everything. So eventually they have to join. Well, Lobo, I suppose... Lobo is not mentioned specifically because he is not an Empowered. So technically he does not have to join or be a criminal. He doesn't have to do anything. I think vigilantism would be frowned upon, and he may even be stopped by the Empowered Department, but there is no story of Lobo after the Empowered Department exists. So I don't know the answer to that. I have not decided yet.
Cool. Something to look forward to and see what happens.
I think... Given that he's a playable character in a lot of my scenarios, I think my assumption is that he might voluntarily join the Empowered Department, perhaps in exchange for them dealing with the drug cartels. That sounds like something he would do, because that's what he cares about above everything else. We've never explored it, but I'm assuming he lost someone because of them.
That makes good sense. Yep. Very good. Given that you don't have mountains of money, when might we see a Lobo 3?
That's a good question. So right now I'm working on Cascade number 2, the second of the team up comics. I've been having real artist troubles, I'm sad to say. I used to have a fantastic artist who worked with me for many years, did the vast majority of my comics, including Vigilance. But unfortunately, he's moved on, which is totally fine. I just want to say, Raman, if you're out there listening, I know you're probably not, but if you are, it is totally cool, man. You got to do your thing, and that's absolutely fine. But I have been struggling to find another artist who I can trust with the things that I trust Raman with. There's a lot more micromanagement needed for a lot of artists to get used to the world.
Yep.
Because I developed the world with Raman, so. I've got Cascade number 2 and number 3 to deal with, and that's the end of phase 1. I've been working on a Violet number 3, 4, 5 storyline with Jennifer Martin that I mentioned earlier. We've got some really, really good stuff we want to do, and I really want to bring that stuff to life. It's all about Violet's parents and everything that's going to happen there. I've already finished the pencils and inks on Fauna number 2. That's actually done, but because it's part of phase 2, I've not pushed it forward to colors yet. It will not take very long. It is very likely to be the first issue of Phase 2 once Cascade is done. I just kind of... Everything confluences into Cascade, so I need to do Issue 2 and Issue 3, and it's there. Like, after Issue 1, Ramad said, right, look, I've been doing this for a long time. I want to do something else. And as I say, that's totally fine, but finding someone to step into those shoes is not an easy task. Cascade number 2, Cascade number 3 need to be done, because otherwise the story won't make sense for Fauna number 2 and several others beyond. But as soon as that is done, Phase 1 is complete, there's nothing to stop me beginning work on Lobo number 3. There's going to be a lot of... I want to work on Violet, but it's not... I might well... I should say, Lobo number 2, completely different artist to Ramad, who did Vigilance and Violet and Blue Shift and Lacuna and so on. So there's nothing that stops me from making Lobo number 3 pretty much immediately, because I'll be waiting on artwork. That's just the way of making comics, for anyone who doesn't already know. You're writing the script, and then you'll be waiting on artwork and tweaking artwork and talking about artwork for a very long time before the film's complete. It's yep. just the way it is. That's not a problem. It's just life.
Yep. That's the way it goes. I've been through the process myself. I helped somebody get their comics done. Boy, my roommate, who is a writer, would sit there with the artist, and he would say he would actually take pictures of himself in the poses he wanted.
The right poses. Yeah, absolutely. I've done that. Google is also very helpful. There's a lot of working with the artist to get it right in the right place, looking right, feeling right is so important. It's so important to get it to meet your vision the right amount, and not push in the wrong directions. That's a skill that you learn over the years, and I'd like to believe that I've learned that. But unfortunately, the last couple of artists that I've hired have not delivered what they promised in their portfolio, what they promised verbally. It's a bit frustrating, but it is life, and I am quite tenacious. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to keep going. Cascade number 2 is written. Cascade number 3 is mostly written. As soon as I have an artist and we're pushing forward with Cascade number 2, I'll finish Cascade number 3 and I'll move on. So... it might well be 6 months or more before we talk about a Lobo number 3, but I do think it's coming. The story almost writes itself for me. I know exactly what I want to do and how I want to do it. Mm-hmm. So it's a very easy story for me to write. And although I wrote this one alone, I very much heard the ghost of Leonor in my head, who wrote number 1 with me. I should say that she's fine as far as I know. I just, when I sent an email, would you like to write Lobo 2? I couldn't reach her. She didn't respond. So I ended up writing Lobo 2 on my own. That's all.
Are you taking artist submissions or anything? Is there, how are you finding an artist?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you're an artist listening and you'd like to get involved, you can email us at comics@shadesofvengeance.com. Or reach out on any of our social media, which I'm sure Wayne will very kindly link, as always. I'm very happy to take a submission. Please make sure you include your rates. Again, I don't have a pile of money. I try to be as reasonable as possible. I don't have lots and lots.
Yeah, that's true.
And I don't want to waste your time. You know, if you want more money than I can pay, that is totally fine. It's totally up to you to set your rates. I can't pay more money than I've got.
Well, of course.
I know that sounds obvious, but it's not personal. If someone says, oh, I want 3 times as much as you're able to pay per page, I go, okay, that's awesome. I'm really glad that you're able to find work at that price. I just can't. I'm sorry.
Well, hopefully something will rise up, because when we were putting the comic together, we put a request for character profiles, and we got one back that just blew us away. And that person ended up being the artist on the comic. So it's good stuff. But before I let you go, are other things going on with Shades of Vengeance we should be aware of?
Always. So I just finished Under Pressure, which was my zombie apocalypse comic, and I didn't get on to talk to you about that one. I'm sorry about that. I would have loved to. But we couldn't make it work, could we? But that's sitting right next to me. I'm flicking through it right now next to the microphone. There you go. For anyone who's desperate for that. And that's all done. It's being delivered for Kickstarter right now, which is great fun. I've got, obviously, this Outsiders. I'm working on... I've got a new artist who came along and he wanted to do a short with me. And I'm working on a short, it's a little hat tip, which could go somewhere or could not. And we can make a decision. But it's very much a little hat tip to the Spider-Man alien costume kind of era.
Hmm.
Just a little bit of fun with enough of our own world stuff to make it. Oh yeah, I see. That's a hat tip. Okay. Also, it's just an Adventure Violet hat. It's only designed as a short. That's actually brought the number of shorts that I have that haven't actually been published up to 4 or 5.
Wow.
Strongly considering making like a little anthology of shorts that never really happened, like never really got out the door, but sort of should have done. So I made one about a character called Wallflower who has a destiny within the universe with Aegis. I made Kazuki and the Death Seekers. As it was a Halloween comic. It was just this little short we did ages ago, which was about, you know, the way that abilities can be a bit scary. There are a few other bits and pieces like that, which, you know, along with the Violet one, I feel like they deserve to be out there in the world. So I might look at an anthology of that sort of stuff. I think that would be really nice to do. Other than that, there's another comic, which I'm working on, which is based in my Final Fantasy inspired universe. I've been playing Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. I'm a bit of a gamer, and I've been playing Final Fantasy since the original one for years and years. I made a world called Era Lost Legend, which is that world. And I've written a 12-page comic, which has just come to the end. I'm having a couple of really small detail tweaks done to it for continuity reasons. That 12-page comic is more or less complete. And I am hoping to launch that on Kickstarter pretty soon because it is more or less done. That's a slightly different style to my usual. It's a bit more sort of anime-esque, a bit more manga-esque. Not completely. It is left to right. It's still a Western comic, but the style is a lot more what you would imagine suits a JRPG, I guess. And it's very much the opening of the story. It's to see if people are interested. And if they are, then I will happily continue that story. It's a story that I'm very passionate about. It also follows on from my novel as well as my role-playing game. So both of those things end at about the same place. So there's a novel in that universe, a role-playing game in that universe. So both of those things end at the same place, and then I think there's more story to tell. And that's what this comic is. This comic is that first bit of that story and how the world changes again. I'm quite excited about that. That's been a long time coming. I started that in lockdown. So that's been a long time coming. Then there's Cascade number 2, which I really am hopeful that we can make some more progress on. In role-playing game land, I have just finished another novel. This one's a story novel in my sci-fi universe. I have two major role-playing games underway, and a couple of other bits and pieces ongoing. One of those is a Dark Souls-inspired role-playing game. And one of them is inspired by action heroes from 80s and 90s action movies, where you can use continuity errors to your advantage in gameplay. lots of very, very silly. It's called Era Friction, and it's a very silly game. It's one of those moments where I had just that pure, oh, this would be hilarious. This would be too much fun not to do. Much like Drift, as I mentioned earlier. On the audio side, we're doing a huge amount of work. We have just launched a Patreon where we are releasing 2 audio drama episodes every month for just $2. And if you like audio dramas, they're full-cost audio dramas, fully scored, sound effects, you name it. It's like a movie with the screen off. And we do episodes of about 20 to 30 minutes in each thing. We're doing two episodes of that a month. And we've got four more currently in development. We're really pushing some more audio stuff forward at the moment. It's really, really interesting what stories we're finding ourselves able to tell and what ways in which we're shaping these stories.
Cool.
There's a free episode on the Patreon, so I'll drop you the link, Wayne, if that's all right. And
that'd be great.
And perhaps you can share it. So there's a free episode of each thing that we're doing on the Patreon already. Check it out if you think that's good. It's literally $2 a month. We will give you something every month. It is not a problem at all. We have a plan and we know how we're going to deliver it. We just the more backers we can get, the more money we can get, the more we can make. That's always been what it's about. And as you've previously observed, our comics fall into the same category. Empowered Outsiders Volume 2, or Empowered Outsiders 2, An Anthology of Independent Heroes, is the way I wrote it, is funded already. It is on Kickstarter until the 12th of May, and no, the funded goal is not what it took to make these comics. It's what it takes to publish and print the book. The more we get, the more we can make. The each previous project passes funding on to the next project so that we can make something new and awesome. And that's true for the audio, and it's true for the comics, and it's true for the role-playing games. So if those are things that you want to see more of and see more innovation within the fields of, please check it out. I don't think you'll regret it. And I know that you will love Empowered Outsiders 2. Wayne clearly has enjoyed it very much. I sent him the pages so that you can have a look at it, and there's actually even more bonus content that Wayne has not seen released yet. So
I particularly like the female characters. I think those are very strong and very interesting, and very human, which I like about
it. We've talked about that a few times, haven't we? And you're very kind about that. It's something that I've learned to pride myself on, not least due to you saying that we write good female characters, but others do as well. It's very much backed up by others in the industry and in various areas, and I think it comes, a lot of it comes from half of my writing team when I started were women, right? They're not going to write poorly developed female characters, because why would they? And I learned writing from some very, very good writers when I started 10 years ago. It's actually our 10th anniversary this month, Wayne.
Wow, congratulations.
Very first time that we sold a book through crowdfunding. It is our 10th anniversary. We were on Patreon for role-playing games 10 years ago this month.
Wow, how about that? Well, congratulations are in order there. And of course, the great thing about the Kickstarter is it helps us keep going forward.
Absolutely.
And so be sure to support that. And let's see, we haven't talked about, you've got your website and your social media. How about giving us an update on that?
Absolutely. It's shadesofvengeance.com. I'm sure, again, you'll put the link in the comments. Mm-hmm. There is Twitter. That's shades_of_venge. Sorry about that. Shades of Vengeance doesn't fit as a Twitter handle, which is just annoying. We've got an Instagram, which is SOV Comics. We've got a TikTok, which is SOV Comics. I'm not very good at TikTok, so forgive the fact that it's bad. We've got Discord. You can find that on our website. And, if you want to join the community, we've got a really lovely community of about 300 people who love our games, love our comics, love our universes. Everyone is welcome. And this is a shout out to anyone who has often thought, oh, I'd love to try a role-playing game, but I don't know where to start. We run role-playing games. It's free. You don't have to own the game already. Just come along, sit down, play a role-playing game, and try it. Just find out if you like it. You can even play in the Empowered universe if you like, as even one of these heroes. We've got Drift, we've got Lobo, I don't think I've built Savannah. I might have done, I'm not sure. And I have not built Vigilance, but it would not be hard to do so. If you identify with Vigilance and you think, I would love to play Vigilance, you can ask, and I will probably make it in about half an hour.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, if you want to try a role-playing game, you've always been afraid to ask, come along, join a community where no one knows you already. You're not going to be embarrassed if things go wrong. And, yeah, just there's nothing to lose at all.
Great, great. Well, once again, it's Empowered Outsiders to an Anthology of Independent Heroes, and it's now on Kickstarter. And, Ed, you're doing wonderful stuff as always. I'm sure you'll just keep it up, and we're looking forward to more great stuff from you in the future. So I just enjoy your work so much.
Thank you so much, Wayne. And again, thank you for having me back. You know, it's genuinely wonderful to sit down and talk to you about comics, because you love comics. And I don't know how much this is of just, you know, we've impressed you, but you love our comics too. And you look at everyone with fresh eyes, and you just lap them up, and you adore them. And it's wonderful to come on and talk to someone who just enjoys our work, because that's, again, it's not about the money. It's about the work. It's about bringing stories to life that maybe you don't see every day. And you are really wonderful about it every time. So thank you so much.
People need dramatic examples to shake them out of apathy, and I can't do that as Bruce Wayne. As a man, I'm flesh and blood. I can be ignored. I can be destroyed, but as a symbol.
Get the latest from the comics universe. News, interviews, previews, and reviews. Listen to the weekly Wayne's Comics Podcast so you can keep reading your comics.
If you're enjoying this show, I would greatly appreciate your support. For $5 a month, you can ensure I'm able to bring you interviews with comic creators week after week. You can support the show by becoming a patron at patreon.com/majorspoilers. Check out that address, again, patreon.com/majorspoilers, for more information. Thanks in advance. And that's it for this week. Be back next time. We'll have another great interview with another terrific comics creator. But until then, keep reading your comics.